good to be with you here this morning and to have a wonderful time that we have together and come together for fellowship and study God's Word. I hope we all came with the proper mindset of doing that and coming with the purpose of worshiping in spirit and in truth and in uplifting our brethren. I hope what I have to say this morning is beneficial to you. I hope it is according to God's Word. I hope it increases your faith and your resolve to serve Him faithfully all the days of your life. Last time when I spoke, we started a little three-part thing that I have talking about God's plan for the family. Last time we talked about the husband and the father, the role of the man in the family unit. And today we're going to talk about the role of the woman in the family unit as wife and mother. Now, just as last time, I said, you know, the women, it's not your turn to sleep through the lesson because there's things you can learn in here to help men and young men grow into being that type of example. Men, the same goes for us today. This is good for us in that we would want to look at these things and help foster this environment too to where the woman can fulfill that role. And we can go a long way into making it a situation where she is more successful in doing that. But without doubt, the weight of the burden on this is on the woman. And whether or not they decide or choose to walk in the ways of God and follow after His pattern. You know, as I said the last time, it doesn't take much observation to understand that the family unit is breaking down in our society. We might say as a whole, in general, it's broken. But it's not broken in the church. And we're not going to let it get broken in the church. And that's why we study these things. We are to be the light in this world. We are to be the examples. And one of the ways that we can do that is to consistently foster and build and grow the family units that we have so that we do shine as a light. You know, as we talk about the breakdown of the family unit in our society, you know, the men, they're not the only one to blame for this. Everyone has their role in the falling apart of the family unit. You know, we have men who have left their roles as fathers and as husbands. We have women who have left their roles as wives and as mothers. We have women who have lost sight of how God expects them to carry themselves and conduct themselves in society. Many have failed to fulfill their duties. And while they have failed to fulfill the duties that God has given them, in the same spirit of rebellion, they try to usurp God's authority and take over roles that He told them wasn't theirs. And so we have to understand and go back and look at what God's plan for the family unit is and then mold ourselves, whatever our role is in the family unit. We have to yield in submission to Him and follow along after His Word. Now, got a couple of passages I want to use to set our mind. Obviously, it would be hard to talk about the role of the woman, a God-fearing woman in the family unit, without looking at Proverbs 31. Verses 10 through 31 is where the Scriptures talk about the virtuous woman, the virtuous wife. And I just want to pick out a few verses to kind of set our mindset as we go forward into studying these things this morning. In Proverbs 31 and verses 10 through 12, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Also in verse 25 through 28, dropping down in the chapter there, it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." When we think about this woman that is written about here in Proverbs 31, I want you to notice something. We don't know her name. No name is given. We don't know whose wife she was. We don't know who her children were. Those are not the things that stand out to us. That's not information that we've been given, but what does stand out is her character. What stands out is her resolve to be the virtuous wife, the godly mother, sacrificing for her family. And that should help us set our minds as we go about understanding how the family unit should run. And ladies, I want to tell you today, if you read this each and every day, it would certainly be a great example for you, an inspiration for you, how to carry yourself through the day and do those things. It would be great inspiration for you to speak to your daughters in how they should grow up and be. Even without her name, her influence has been evident and influential for many women throughout the ages. She's mentioned here in these verses, and she is mentioned in a way and manner that is to be respected, honored, and revered, because she took care of the house in a way and manner pleasing to God. And that's what we should all do, and that's what the role of the woman is. How can you be successful in being such a positive influence on your family is the question. How can you, ladies, be successful like this in having a positive influence on your descendants, those that will come after you? Only by following God's guidance can you become a woman pleasing in His sight. Only by yielding to His word. You see, you can't conform to what the world says about how the woman should be. You can't follow after how everybody else thinks the woman should be and how she should conduct herself and the way she should carry herself. We have to conform, all of us, and you as well, in your role as the wife and mother in the home. You must conform to the Word of God. So let's study the Word of God just a minute. Let's look at the role as the woman in the household, as the wife. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it says, man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I think all of us that are married and have wives that put up with us, we agree. Wife's a good thing. Most time they're patient with us. Most time they really take care of us a lot better than we give them credit for. But what does God's Word say about how the wife is to conduct herself and how she is to mold her life? God saw in the very beginning that man needs companionship. It's not good for him to be alone. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, the scripture here, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. God saw that the man was alone. He said, it's not good. He said he needs to have somebody. He needs to have a companion. He needs to have a helper comparable to him. And that's what that phrase there, and help meet for him, that's what it means. A helper comparable to him. God didn't make a slave for the man. He didn't make somebody that the man should just be able to order around and treat like dirt. He made a helper. He made someone who was comparable to him. Someone that would help him work together, that they could both be that team that our family units really are. We're teams. When you look at even further down in the chapter there, in Genesis 2 and verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I find no other relationship spoken about in the Bible talking about things here on this earth that is as close as this right here. Now, obviously, our relationship with God and with Christ is closer than this and should be. But as far as our physical relationship, those that we meet on this earth, this relationship is the closest one that I can find written about in the Bible. It says that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's how close they are to be. That's how important they are to each other. Ladies, are you cleaving to your husband in the way and manner that you should? You know, it's your role to be a part of that one flesh too. Some don't want to do that today. The family unit is designed to work in unison. Are you being this helpmeet for your husband? You know, society in general looks upon these verses and they just grit their teeth. They can't stand it. And I think it's because a real misunderstanding of what God has talked about here. As I said, God did not make man a slave for him to have. He made someone that would be there to help him. One time, somebody was asked about mine and Carrie's relationships, and the person said, "Well, Carrie sure does round out your rough edges." And I thought, boy, does she have a lot of rounding out to do. But you know, in a way, that's kind of how we're supposed to be. The wife has a role into helping the father and the husband be what he's going to be. You know, she's not there just to go tend the garden and hoe weeds. She's not there just to take care of the laundry. She's not there just to take care of the food and things like that, although she may do that. But what about the godly homes that we should be building today? What about the Christian families that we should be building? The Christian home and example we should have for our children. The wife plays a huge role in helping build that. And I'll tell you, ladies, if you don't conform to God's word, you can go a long way into tearing that down. And that's part of the problem that has happened in our society today. This is not demeaning to the woman. This is not demeaning to the wife. But are you taking on your role in the godly home and aiding your husband in his walk with God? Or have you become a stumbling block? Those are questions we have to ask. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. We talked for a moment about the submission that the wives should have to their husbands. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord." It is suitable and pleasing in the sight of God that the wife is in submission to the man, to the husband. Part of societal problems today is that we have women who rebel against this godly message. And again, they misunderstand what submission means. You know, submission in this context here is a willingness to yield. A willingness to allow that leader of the home, the man, to make decisions that affect the spiritual nature of the home, that affect certain things. You know, submission is kind of like this. Let's just say that Ken and I are out and we're fixing to go eat lunch somewhere. And Ken wants to go to this place and I want to go to this place. And he really wants to go to that place bad. And I really want to go to this place bad. And finally Ken says, "Yeah, we'll go to that place, my place next time. Let's go to yours today." He willingly submits to what I want to do. Submission in the home should be a willingness to yield to the direction and guidance that the man has for the home. And society misunderstands that. They think we want to keep women, you know, back in the dark ages, in the caves and all this other stuff. We have no interest in that. That's not even close to what our desire is. But I can tell you what God's desire is. God's desire is that the woman take on the role as the wife according to His plan. Look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. This is after the sin in the Garden of Eden, and this is the part of the punishment coming upon that God inflicts upon the man and the woman. And He says unto the woman, He said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." You see, from that point on, from that very beginning there, God set up the family unit the way it should be. He set it up according to His desire, His pleasure. And He said the husband is the leader of the home. In Ephesians 5, in verse 22 through 24, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Nothing good happens when we rebel against God's plan. Nothing ever good comes about. And when we fail to fulfill our roles in the family unit, specifically in this context, when the ladies, the women, fail to fulfill their role, bad things are going to happen. I want you to look at how he describes this here, Paul does in Ephesians. He said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands." And he gives this pattern. He said, "Because the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the man." Christ is the head of all of us. He is the head of the family. You know, right now, the way things are set up, the way things are going, we can either be submissive to the plan of God and submissive to Christ as our Lord and follow after Him, or we can rebel. We can rebel and go against it. But if you're going to please God, you willingly submit because that's pleasurable to God. In the same manner, the wife is to willingly submit to the guidance of the man in the home. Consider the example that you may be setting for your children and how you either submit according to God's plan or rebel to God's plan. The wife should guide the home and take care of the domestic matters. Doesn't mean that she can't be out working too. There's nothing in there that says that. In fact, we know of several of them that were industrious. In fact, if you look at the reading there in Proverbs 31, there were times where she was industrious. So we're not saying that you can't do that. God didn't say that, so I'm not going to say it either. But she should guide and take care of the home and make sure those domestic matters are taken care of. Look in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. Now I understand this is in the context of a passage talking about widows, specifically younger widows here. But look at the pattern that is set forth. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Marry, bear children, guide the home. Guide the home. Make sure the home is operating and running in a good fashion. You know, sometimes a home gets dirty. That's not the only indication of whether or not you're guiding the home. Sometimes that happens. But when we talk about guiding the home, it's not just those little bitty, you know, tasks like that, but how are you guiding the home in an effort to aid the husband to be the leader? How are you guiding the home in an effort that aids it to be that Christian home when others come in, they see that Christian home? How are you guiding the home in that manner? Is the home a place of chaos or is it a place of order? And what is your role in making sure that there is no chaos there, or at least it gets cut down? Sometimes there gets to be a little. Y'all been to my house, so y'all know it can get a little chaotic sometimes, but anybody with children, I think you have some of those days. But in general, is the house a place of order in a fashion to where people could see Christ's influence there in that home? Ladies, guide the home. Help out in this. Look in Proverbs 31 and verse 27 through 29. It says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Ladies, look well to the ways of your household. Look well to it. Take care of the things that need to be taken care of in a way and manner that's pleasing to the sight of God. Eat not the bread of idleness. You know, back when you talk about in 1 Timothy 5 where it talks about the widows there and things like that. It says one of the problems that they have is they got too much time on their hands, and they start going about being tattlers and busybodies and minding everybody else's business instead of taking care of what they need to be doing. Well, as you set the tone for how the home is guided, set the example that there won't be the idle bread eaten in your house. And then later on, we don't have to worry about as many of those problems. How you perform these manners and take care of the home and guide the home shows whether or not you submit and follow after God's design. Also notice in Proverbs 14 and verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. As I said in the beginning, you go a long way and have a great influence on how the home is constructed spiritually. The man guides the home, and he is to be the spiritual leader of the home. And you can either help him, or you can hold him back and fight about it all the time. Now, sometimes he don't take his responsibility, and I understand that. But we're not talking about him today. We're talking about you. Are you a stumbling block to your husband? Are you holding that spiritual growth back? Are you holding back somehow the growth of the home in a godly fashion? You know, sometimes we as men, I got to tell you, we know we need to be doing more with our children. We know we need to be doing more spiritually in that sense and everything. And we kind of start something and we may put on a kind of a good front, but to be honest with you, we're scared to death that we don't know what we're doing. Help us out a little bit. Let's work together on this. You can go a long way into having that teamwork that builds a home and constructs the home that is pleasing to God, or you can go a long way into plucking it down with your hands, your conduct, and your character. Let's look for a moment about the mother. It goes without saying that a mother can be one of the biggest influences on a child's life. You know, we come, you know, we have Mother's Day and different things like that, and we think about Mom, and, you know, different things kind of come to our remembrance about different things Mom did with us and how Mom did this and Mom did that. Mom has a pretty big role in our lives, and she should. You see, children, they're kind of like that lump, those lumps of clay. You know, you gotta mold, you gotta kind of push and mash sometimes to get them to go that way, and you gotta do this and that. And moms, y'all have a great influence in the molding of children into being that type of child that wants to serve God and that wants to work and serve in His kingdom. So don't take your role lightly. And understand the influence that you have. No discussion when we talk about the mother really would be complete without considering the admiration that Paul had for Timothy's mother and as well as Timothy's grandmother. You know, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in the grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." You know, when Paul first met Timothy back in Acts 16 and verse number 1, he grabs Timothy and takes him into service. And what it says about him, it says that his mother was a Jewish, meaning that she was a Jewish convert there to the Christian faith. And it says, but his father was a Greek, and that would imply that his father was a non-believer. So where did Timothy get his faith? Where did Timothy get that instruction and that teaching to go follow God and follow after the plan of Christ and the plan of salvation? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 there, he said, your mother and your grandmother had a great influence on you. Mothers, I want to tell you, you have just that type of influence on your children today. And I hope you are taken aback thinking about that, because that's the proper mindset to look at this. We should sit back in our roles, whatever they be, and think about this. And you as mothers need to think about this as well. Are you a good influence on your children? Do they see you serving God? Do they see you studying your Bible? Do they see you keeping God's commands? Oh, you can tell them that they need to go do those things. Do they see you doing those things, though? You see, that's one of the biggest ways that children learn how to do things. Now, although the responsibility of spiritual teaching is laid upon the father, that does not release you from the duty of teaching as well. Teaching their children to love God is a duty to both parents. And it was this way from the very beginning. They both play a role, although the father is, as we said, he's to be the spiritual guider of the house. He's to set the tone and to do the things that are in accordance with God's will in order to mold that child into being a servant of God. But you teach as well. What are you teaching? How are you teaching? You know, do you sit down and study with them? Do you talk about that Bible? Do you take those opportunities to discuss scriptural things with them? What comes out of your mouth? How do you speak in the home? How do you speak to your husband? How are they going to see your conduct? Are they going to mold themselves after you? Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Is corrupt communication coming out of your home? Is it coming out of your mouth? Are you using communication to tear down or to build up? Are you edifying? Are you ministering grace unto the hearers? Look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Is your speech have grace in it? Is it seasoned with salt? Do you know how you need to answer questions? Because children ask a lot of questions. If you don't believe that, come to my house for a day. I got one that is right there. And if I go in the other room, he's right there. And every question seems like starts with why, what, why, what. How do you answer that? Because he doesn't do that just to the fathers. Mothers, how do you answer these things? And I'm not talking about just, you know, why is the sky blue and all this. I'm talking about those opportunities that you have to teach about godly things, to teach about godly ways. And more importantly, how are they witnessing you carrying yourself about the house? You spend countless hours around your children. What will they hear and what will they see? And how will you answer their questions? Hopefully you will be studied enough to be able to give scriptural answers. Hopefully they can see you studying your Bible. Teach your children to behave according to God's commands. In Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Older women, are you teaching your younger women to follow after this pattern? Are you showing this pattern for others in your household, for others in the church? See, these young girls, they don't always just look at mom. They see the example around them of other ladies too. Are you setting this example? Now, I want you to look at these things here with me for just a moment and understand what he is writing here and what the older women should be teaching the younger women. He talks about being sober. Teach them to be sober. That means of a sound mind, moderate, having control of yourself. Teach them to love their husband have that fondness of and affection for the husband. Love their children. Have that fondness for and maternal love for their children. See, society says let them alone and just see if they can figure that out. God says teach these things to them. Teach them to be discreet. That means to be of a sound mind and curbing one's desires. Are you teaching how to curb the desires of self? Because the flesh can pull awfully strong sometimes, ladies. To be chaste, teach them to be chaste, which is modest in behavior and having a pureness from carnality. Are we teaching our young ladies in the church today to be chaste in their behavior? Because if we're not, we need to change. And ladies, you have the influence and the highest degree of influence to start teaching that in your home. Keepers at home, to be domestically inclined and such that they make sure the home is taken care of and they tend to household affairs. Good. Now that term good is pretty generic. You know, when you think about it, a lot of things can be good. But in this sense here, what he's talking about is teaching them to be pleasant, agreeable, upright, or honorable. You see, those are the things that the older women should be teaching the younger women, teaching them how to be obedient to husbands. Again, we've talked about being submissive to the husband. Mothers, you have the responsibility to teach your young ladies these things. Okay, but let me ask you this. What about the young boys in your house? You know, you may not just be teaching the young women that they need to be this type of wife and mother and have this characteristic and these character or these traits as she grows older. You may also be setting the example for your sons to look at and say, that's the kind of wife I want when I get older. That's the example you should be setting. You should be living these type things here so that the young men know what they need when they get older and where to go find it. And that the young women know how they need to conduct themselves and what behavior they should have. Ladies, you can choose to be a wife and mother according to the guidance of the world, a world that is in decay, or you can choose to be wives and mothers that seek to please God in your role. And the choice is yours. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't conform to the world. Don't conform to the world and go along with what the world says is important. Don't go along with the world and says, with the world that teaches the things that are important that only destroy homes. Conform yourself to the Word of God. Transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Get in the book and understand what a huge role you have as wife and mother. And understand how you are to fulfill that role in a way and manner pleasing to God. And whatever our role is in this life, whatever we are called to be, whether it's husband, father, wife, mother, children, which we'll talk about next time, regardless of what it is, we should do it with joy. Not because of what man says, but because God says to do this. And I want to seek to please Him. That should be our mindset. If you look again at the virtuous woman in Proverbs, you'll see that God acknowledges the beauty of her service. Society tells you that beauty is all about how you look. Society will tell you that you need to show off your beauty and more most of the time. Society will tell you these things, that you should go out and conduct yourself in immodest ways and dress in immodest apparel and use immodest language and conduct yourself in a way and manner that rebels against God's Word. But God says different. Far too many families have been torn apart due to the wife and mother losing sight of what God values. There's no sin in having a good appearance, but understand that you need to adorn yourself with the things that please God. go to 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3, you'll see a couple of passages there that talk about how the adorning of the woman should be with good works. That's what she should be known for. Look in Proverbs 31, verse 26 through 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let your own works and your conduct and your character speak volumes for who you are. Stop trying to impress society with how you look and putting that as a priority. Let your character and your conduct and your submission to God's Word and your submission to His will and His role for you in the family unit, let that speak volumes for who you are. And if nobody else in the world recognizes that and sees it, who cares? God does. And that's who we need to be seeking to please. We've talked this morning about the role of the woman, the wife, and the mother. We talked a little bit about the submission that is called for in the family unit. You know, the idea of submission doesn't just belong to the woman. Each and every one of us has a call to submit to God's Word. If we want salvation and if we want to look forward to a heavenly home, then we have to submit to His ways, because He knows the way to get there, and He has told us how to get there, and He has given us a plan. It's just up to us whether or not we choose to yield and submit to it, or whether we rebel. I don't know if you've been rebelling to God's Word this morning. I hope not. But if you are, now's the time to change and start that submissive role. Because God wants to help us. And He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, as a sacrifice on the cross to pay the debt for our sin. And in order to have that payment on our side and have our sins forgiven, we need to yield and submit to Him. He's given us the gospel plan of salvation that allows us to be cleansed of our sin. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and been baptized for your sins this morning, we would invite you to do that. Now's the time to take care of that. Don't leave those doors closed in sin. Leave those doors closed in the righteousness of Christ. If you're here this morning and you feel like you haven't been as strong as you would like to be, and you need the strength, the prayers of your brethren here, we would pray with you and pray for you, and we would be joyous to do that, to help a brother or sister out. If we can help one of either class, we ask you to come forward, take a seat on the front pew while we stand and sing this next song.